Welcome to Slug's bi-weekly Slug Soundwaves podcast. Here, in our print mag and on slugmag.com, enjoy our curated content that highlights the best of Utah's alternative and underrepresented music, arts, events, and community subcultures. If Slug has benefited you or someone you love, consider contributing to sustain our existence. Head to slugmag.com/donate to join our community of donors.
KRCL was founded in 1979 to bring a more diverse voice to Salt Lake City and surrounding areas. KRCL is community funded and supported, which allows diverse commercial free programming that varies from indie to hip hop, blues to bluegrass, metal, punk, indigenous, and bilingual programs. Every weekday at 6 p.m., KRCL's Radioactive brings you grassroots activism and civic engagement with punk rock farming and live local music on Fridays. Tune in to KRCL at 90.9 FM. Stream at krcl.org or download the app on the App Store. Support for Slug Soundwaves comes from Crucial Fest 13, the heavy music festival that loves you back. Presented by Grey Will and held Friday, September 13th, 14th, and 15th at the Metro Music Hall. Don't miss Mars Red Sky, Black Tusk, Ghost, Midwife, Frail Body, Trip Hammer, The Autolith, and many more. Find tickets at 24tix.com/crucialfest, and for more information, follow Crucial Fest on Instagram.
Shh! Are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves. What's up? We're Body of Leaves. Here we are at Slug. It's beautiful. My name is Evan Pack. I play bass and vocals and enjoy it greatly.
My name is Ian Francis. I play drums, both electronic and acoustic.
I'm Elizabeth Mathis. I play keys and some background vocals and hit the sample pad with the silly noises. And that's what I do.
Yeah. And I'm Adam Toomey, and I play guitar in the project.
Broad perspective, if someone asks what Body of Leaves sounds like, I give them kind of some, I say we sound like Joy Division and New Order, and then for a more modern reference, we really take after, at least I do, Preoccupations.
Mm-hmm. Love that band.
Interpol.
Yeah.
A little bit of Proto-Martyr.
Love Proto, a band, yeah, Proto-Martyr, Midwest band.
Yeah.
Great band.
But we'll, like, do playlists, like, for one of our more recent singles, Tempo Creep, we, like, did a shared playlist, just, like, internally. I don't think we ever shared it on, like, our social channels or anything.
We did?
Yeah, okay. So we did share it externally as well, and, like, that had a range of things on there. You know, it had everything that we just listed, but it also had, like, I think it had a Cocteau Twins song on there.
Yeah.
And just, like, basically, I mean, we all have a pretty, like, diverse taste in music, but I think that, like, all four of us speak a very similar musical language and mm-hmm. like a lot of the same things. And, you know, we're not limited to just one inspiration.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think, like as far as, like, the tools being used, there's a lot of stuff that's, like, in that post-punk realm. Like you mentioned, like the New Order and like Proto-Martyr and stuff, like a lot of like melodic bass lines and stuff like that. But I think the mood that feels a little more interesting to me shifts a little bit away. It's like shifting a little bit away from like the kind of gloomy. That's a lot of like very gloomy music, which is all well and good and like needs to get out there. But I think it's been interesting to try and take some of that, I guess, that like language and convey a little bit more of like an upbeat and kind of playful, a little bit more of like a playful mood, mm-hmm. While still like speaking the language of like the brooding, like kind of sound. So
yeah, I think playful is a good word for it.
Yeah.
And we all like to play.
Yeah. Players. Yeah.
Let's go to work.
Band of gamers.
Yes. And I think something that defines our sound is the combination of electric and acoustic, like non
yeah, like physical
tangible.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We have real instruments. But we also have, you know, a sample pad, like Elizabeth said, and I'm triggering drum sounds and samples and backing tracks. So I think those blend really well together. And it's been kind of a journey because we started out a lot more electronic. And then now we've kind of found our way, and I feel like we've really just found our footing and who we want to be and what we want to sound like. And it's just way easier this way instead of running everything off of Ableton. And
yeah, our very first show, we had like, what, we had like a, it was like an, I think it was, oh no, our very first show,
like
we had
right?
like fully electronic drums. And then we had this like sequencer keyboard that was like literally like you had to like press a button to move to like every new section of the song for like, you know, like 8 songs. And it was so impractical and so.
Load in sucked.
Yeah, load in is like basically bringing out like both our entire like music rooms to like do a show.
Well, because the historical context here is that the band used to just be
Evan and Ian. Me and Ian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And then Adam eventually joined like what, 6 months later ish?
Well,
I don't know.
There was
maybe
a little
more.
Bit of a turn on
there, yeah.
Churn on guitar players just because it was a reliable folks are hard to come by.
Yeah.
And then I'm the more recent add-in, and by that I mean I've been in the band for like 18 months now.
Yeah.
But I think that just, you know, like what Ian said, like it started out as like this smaller, more like electronic project, and it's hopefully, I mean, I'm the more recent add-in, so of course I think this is more fun, but it's been fun to add in more instruments, more people.
Yeah, no, so I worked at like a children's hospital at the time and was just like stuck. It worked working like a lot of night shifts, like stuck in like, you know, the basement of this like nothing but like fluorescent like white walls of fluorescent light for like for, you know, several months. And just kind of like sort of started generating some feelings of you know, a little bit of unease. So some of the parts of the album kind of came from that, of just like feeling, you know, this is also like right during COVID, and like sort of like transitioning into like post COVID. So there's just like a lot of pent up feelings, which I think comes across like on that song in particular. Actually there's like a sample at the beginning of that song too. It like sounds like a big broken,
it's like an ominous, like roar kind of
yes,
thing.
Yes. Yeah. And that was just like like one of those big, huge, like floor sweepers that like you can sit on and like ride around. I was just, yeah, it was like 2 a.m. I was like, you know, walking around at my job and like some guy was riding one of those around. I was like, that sounds kind of awesome. We got Hell Nightmare. It's an album. Wait, when did it come out?
I'm gonna say
it came out May
23
of last year. Yeah. May of last year. And it was a long time working. It was kind of stuff written, like I said, like post COVID sort of era, when it kind of felt, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, both like personally and like more globally, that felt like really sort of like cataclysmic. So it was an attempt to kind of like work through some of that in like an empowering way of not just like griping, but also kind of like I guess you could say like reclaiming a little bit of a little bit of initiative instead of just like, you know, there's a lot of stuff you can like look at and get down about, but it's another thing to like kind of get aggressive about it, like and confront it. So that's, I think that's kind of what it came from.
I feel like it's definitely a chapter, a different chapter. I think it reflects very well the time of the world and our mindsets. But I also feel like the new songs that we have, we've kind of turned a new leaf.
Yes, you know? Very much so.
Body of leaves.
Yeah, oh, there's a whole body.
There's many leaves for us to turn.
So it feels good to have that whole album. I feel like it's very cohesive, you know, front to back, and we're proud of it. Although we don't really play a lot of those songs live.
Yeah, not a ton.
We
do Equation every time.
Yeah.
Equation's the crowd pleaser. And we love playing it. Like, that's a part of it, too.
But. Yeah. But it just, that album, for me, it just, it's like a very clear, like, time stamp, you know, of like a time and an era,
mm-hmm.
Which is cool to see, sort of like a journal.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, we're kind of in a new phase now, especially now that we have more people with us.
Sure.
Yeah.
More actual humans.
Because everything was written for Held Nightmare mostly before I joined the band.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of learned all the songs. That's what, like, when I first met Evan at Blue Jeans, I think. Because Andrew from World's Worst introduced me and Evan. And he's like, I think he needs a guitarist. Like, if you're down, I can introduce you to him. And then I hit it off with Evan. He's like, yeah, you want to come practice? And then I met Ian, and then through going, like, starting to play shows, met Elizabeth, then she joined. It's just kind of been like this interesting process of like joining and playing those songs off Hell Nightmare, and I didn't really have like much of a, I feel like the only kind of writing I did for anything is like if we play one of those songs live, like I'm like, oh, what, Evan, you think this sounds cool at practice? And he's like, yeah, like I wish we put that on the record or something. But so like we get a little bit of a different like live version sometimes of those songs now that we've kind of had like just more bodies in the bodies in the leaves.
We'll do Hell Nightmare Adam's version.
Yeah. Well, no, they're specifically like, it's been fun playing the songs live with more people because like specifically like there's a song called Such a Gift, which like guitar, there's some like some really fun guitar parts that I wrote for that. But like the first half of the song, there's like really not much. Cause there's that song, it's like, there's so much going on in that song. It's like a little bit, probably too much. It's still, I think we play it almost every show cause it's like so fun to play. It's like, it's a very demanding, it's like super demanding to play, I think for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But the first like minute and a half, there's like not really much on guitar, but Adam's like filled that out really in a really fun way. So yeah, I do regret. I wish we'd had a little more Adam in the mix.
I was too late.
Where were you? Where were you in 2022?
New Hampshire.
Movies are like a big, I think, played a big role in like a lot of the sounds on that album. At the time, I'd gotten really into just like a lot of like John Carpenter movies. He does the score for like most of his movies. Actually, did not do the score for The Thing. That's a common misconception. The score for that is great, but he didn't do that one personally. Anyway. So I was watching a lot of those movies. One of my favorites is a movie called They Live, which the soundtrack to that is really, really interesting. It's like kind of at this interesting time where like digital instruments, so like sample synths and like the digital like workflow was like kind of like established enough that you could like score a whole movie with it. And so there's some really like That being said, though, like a lot of those instruments don't sound like fully real, which I think is, you know, if you've seen the movie, like really fits with like what that movie's about. And I was just really drawn to that, of how kind of like the uncanny sound of like these, like, you know, there's one song on there that has like this harmonica. It's like a digital like sample synth harmonica, and it sound, you can tell it's trying to sound like a harmonica, but it sounds like so different, like it sounds so weird. And just like being at a time in life when everything felt kind of weird, I was really drawn towards like towards that sort of like digital uncanny feeling.
So just looking back now, every song on that album except two, I think, are all just digital drums, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We tracked drums at Sunspell Records. Shout out to Joey Peterson. So we did acoustic drums, live drums there, but then every other song we recorded, I think, either on a MIDI,
My
triggers.
We would like record the MIDI data of like you playing, and then we would process it digitally.
Yeah. So for all my nerdy drum guys out there, the drum kit I used at that time was a completely digital kit, but I used acoustic shells. So I had mesh heads on every drum with a trigger. So it looked like I was playing a quote real acoustic kit, but when I would hit you wouldn't hear like the resonance of the shell because it was a mesh head, but hitting that mesh head would trigger a sample. So we did our live shows that way, and then we did most of the recording that way. Mm-hmm. Where I'd record, and then we'd send the MIDI data. We'd just send it to you, right, Evan?
Yeah. Turn in your data by end of day.
Yeah. I think it was a matter of experimentation, and there's a level of novelty to it too. You know, it was fun to try, but at the end of the day, now our setup is different and it's much more streamlined. I just use a regular kick drum, snare, and a sample pad where I can trigger everything I want on there. I just think you can't beat the sound of a real drum, you know, but it's really cool to have some electronic sounds in conjunction with it.
Yeah.
So, So that first, the recent songs that we've recorded now are more our full drum kit.
Mm-hmm. But we still have some, there's still some cool, because like originally the impetus for like having that like electronic kit was to be able to do, you know, there's like a song where like we had like these like synth chords like playing on the tom, like, you know, you'd be playing like the toms, but it triggered these like melodic like elements, which we still have a lot of now too, like in our newer song Preacher Rock, which will be coming out soon. There's like this like really crunchy like digital it's like a steel drum sound. Mm-hmm. So it's like very melodic, but it's like, you know, there's no way you'd be able to bring like a steel drum to like for
just
one song.
Try.
And besides that too, like being able to process it and make it sound like really weird is awesome. So
yeah, that's always been fun for me, to be able to not just sample drum sounds, but also, like Evan said, to sample something melodic, a note or a chord. And I mean, these days you can upload whatever you want and put it on a pad and play it. So
you can put the Lord of the Rings audiobook on there.
You could, yeah. For God's
sake. Anything can be percussion.
Yeah. Anything can be percussion, yeah. I think, yeah, I like having two sides of the coin with Body of Leaves. Not that we're like straying very far, but there are some obvious differences.
Mm-hmm.
My impression is Evan usually comes and brings something to the table, and then we kind of add our own, you know, personal touch to it.
Yeah.
I think the way he does it is like, it makes it, at least for me, when like Evan brings something to the table, I think the foundation that he brings kind of offers a clear goal, in like a direction for how, like, it makes it easy to then kind of go in and like to begin collaborating. Cause like, if it's just like cold turkey and we're all just kind of like running around like chickens with our head cut off, it's like, it can be a little like stressful, but, and it's also, we all get along so well. It's like, it makes it very easy to be comfortable to bring up ideas and share ideas and maybe try things that if you like had like some like I don't know deep down like oh I'm worried about like sharing like expressing myself this way, like there's none of that. So it's just like really an open book to kind of explore, and it's fun to see like from like when Evan puts his phone from like a voice memo up to the, the mic at our practice space
you always know it's something then, good's gonna happen
to then like seeing that song flesh out over the next like weeks or months or something. It's like it's such a cool process to like be a part of and watch and listen to, and it's exciting to share with everyone else after it's done.
I've been challenging myself like more recently to like write like shorter songs. I think I know that's kind of like something that's a newer trend with like TikTok being like a big way that like younger people find out about music. And but that's like a trend that's like interesting to me. I think like there's some pros and cons about like songs getting shorter. But ultimately, I feel the same way about movies. I love when I look, you know, I'm going to see a movie and I'm like, oh, this thing's like 110 minutes. Let's go. Like, I think, you know, there's some movies that definitely like deserve their runtime, and some that like I'm impressed with like how much they can get done in like a short amount of time. And so with this song, that was kind of the goal.
The name Tempo Creep is literal, because we had always talked about like our songs are getting faster and faster, and at the time Tempo Creep was the fastest one. I think it's been overtaken.
It's been overtaken. I think several songs.
Yeah, I think a few different songs have overtaken it, but like it's faster than any of the songs on Hell Nightmare. But and so, you know, there's like that kind of tongue in cheek like meta reference to it. It's always been called Tempo Creep as like a working title, and then that became the real thing.
As I'm like now in my late 20s, I feel like there's not as much like music or just like culture that is like, you know, there's a lot of music that's like written for like a slightly, I guess like slightly younger age group, like more like early 20s or like even younger. And Tempo Creep is kind of like a little bit about like being in your late 20s, feeling like things are moving fast and you're not moving quite as fast as you would like or you once did. There's maybe the line in there you were thinking of, Elizabeth, is the line, I could change if I got enough sleep.
It's my favorite Bonnie and Bees lyric. Yeah. I smile every time it gets sung.
Yeah, and that's kind of like the sentiment of it. It's definitely a song like playing live. It's like I think it's pretty also pretty demanding like to play for all of us. And so you kind of have to like hold on for dear life as we're playing it. And yeah, what else we got?
It's also the first single from our new Body of Leaves chapter,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like going back to like time stamping and, you know, turning over bodies of leaves, I think Tempo Creep is like a good introduction to who we are now.
Yeah.
You're about to hear our single Tempo Creep in its entirety. We'll be right back.
They can find us on Bandcamp. They can find us on Instagram. They can find us on
Spotify.
Any sort of streaming platform you could desire. Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, I reckon, as well. They could find me at my house, which I won't give out the address to of that. But feel free to drop by and bring cookies or something. Yeah.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Soundwaves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
This episode was produced and edited by me, Mary Culbertson, coordinated by William Hughes, and promoted by the Slug Magazine editorial staff. Be sure to check out this month's issue of Slug. You can find a copy any place cool or at slugmag.com.
Did you enjoy this episode of Slug Soundwaves? You and the local community can continue to enjoy Slug Mag's content for free, but please consider making a one-time or ongoing contribution. Each contribution, no matter the amount, helps support Slug's creation of thoughtful media coverage on SLC's music, arts, events, and community subcultures. Head over to slugmag.com/donate to make your contribution today.